Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
All right, guys, we are in this sermon series. How many of you, first of all, are ready for the Word? Are you guys excited for the Word? I know. I mean, Jeremy did such a magnificent job this morning. You guys were like, just let him play. But we're going to go into the Word of God, and I believe I have a message and a word for all of us today. One, I am going to answer the question that every single one of us has asked during this sermon series titled Chase the Lion. Chase the Lion. You have heard Pastor Michael talk about Benaiah, who went down into a pit on a snowy day to kill a lion. And I think Pastor Michael has said that at least 400 times. And every time he says it, all of us thinks of one thing. Why did he go into a pit on a snowy day to kill a lion? Well, today I hope to answer some of that, and I believe that there's actually a very profound message that can speak to all of our faith. And so what I want us to do is I want us to first stand for the reading of the Word, if you will, and turn with us to 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 20. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy Word. 2 Samuel 23, verse 20. Go ahead.
Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, a valiant fighter from Kabzeel, performed great exploits. He struck down Moab's two mightiest warriors. He also went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. And he struck down a huge Egyptian. Although the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, Benaiah went against him with a club. He snatched the spear from this Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. Such were the exploits of Benaiah, son of Jehoiada. He too was as famous as the three mighty warriors. He was held in great honor than any of the 30, but he was not included among the three, and David put him in charge of his bodyguard.
Amen. You can have a seat. Benaiah. So Benaiah went down into a pit on a snowy day, and we are in this sermon series called, entitled, Chase the Lion. I first want to establish this right off the bat, that Benaiah never chased the lion. Benaiah never chased the lion. The Word of God never said anything about Benaiah chasing the lion. Benaiah went down into a pit on a snowy day, but he didn't chase the lion. I know Mark Batterson has used this account, and I'm not taking anything away from the book that Mark Batterson has written called Chase the Lion. He uses this account because it's got great imagery, and it helps communicate in a very allegorical way the promotion of chasing after your dream. Okay, so I'm not touching Mark Batterson's book. I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm telling you, in the Word of God, Benaiah never chased the lion. This is not some sort of sport, okay? This is not some sort of recreation. You know why you don't chase lions as a sport? Right? Eventually, you get the wrong lion. And it's not a sport that you can really perfect over time. You can't come back from chasing lions and say, hey, I had a bad day today chasing lions, all right? The margin of error is not there, all right? This is not some sort of sport. This guy doesn't chase lions for sport. This account actually has such a great meaning. It's a deeper meaning. It's a rich meaning that we are going to discover today. The first thing I want us to understand is that this account is registered to Benaiah as he is being honored by David. Okay? David is singling out his most valiant, mighty warriors. And this is a great honor. David is recognizing Benaiah as a valiant champion warrior. All right? Such were the exploits of Benaiah. And so in that, there are these three accounts that really speak to his character and his bravery to his loyalty to the house of David. Number one, he fights the two Moab warriors. And in the Word of God, it actually says that these Moab warriors were like lions. They were massive. And he went up against the Moab warriors. Number two, he goes up against an Egyptian giant who comes with him at a spear, and he has a club. He clubs the Egyptian giant, takes his spear, and uses his own spear against him and kills him. But sandwiched in between these two great accounts, again, that speaks to his bravery, that speaks to his character, that speaks to his valiant, champion, warrior-like ways, is this vague statement. He went down in a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. This isn't a sport. Again, this is registered, and this is speaking to the character of Benaiah. Amen? Now, this is a vague statement, and there's a lot of speculation in this statement. But today, I want us to set up some concrete truths. I want to establish and discover, if you will, some dots in this account, okay? And in these concrete truths, they're undeniable. And the message that we are going to discover is in the concrete truths. But what we're also going to do is use some deductive reasoning. And this deductive reasoning will help us draft up some lines and connect the dots. And so as we connect the dots, you are going to see an image of a man who is brave. You're going to see an image of a man who's got great courage, a man who's devoted to the house of David. Amen? So let's set up some of these dots. Are you with me this morning? Amen. Number one, let's talk about the place. The Word of God said that he went down into a pit, into a pit. The first thing that I want to establish is that in the Hebrew, the word pit here is actually noted for being a cistern, a fountain, a well. On a random, unexpected day, on a snowy day, and yes, it does snow in the Middle East, but it's very rare, it's very unexpected. On an unexpected day, a lion came in from the thickets. A lion came in from the dark and from the wild, and it found itself in their water system, in their cistern. Okay, now follow me. The cistern is the resource for their water. Water was the source of life, okay? Obviously, it's snowing, so you have to assume that this is winter, and this is not an ideal time to dig another well. And all of a sudden, this lion has found its way into their cistern, which is their water source, and it's threatening their water source. Okay? This is very important. All right? The water was the resource for them. Now, that's the physical side of it. The spiritual side of this, if you will, is that a pit always represents a curse. Because once you go down into the pit, it's hard to get back out, right? No one really has the blessed and abundant life in the pit, right? No one says the best of my days were when I was in the pit, okay? The pit is noted for being a difficult, cursed place. So the first thing that we got is the place is a cistern, all right? A water source. So all likelihood, the lion came in, went for a drink, and found itself in their water system, all right? Number two, let's talk about the lion really quick. Obviously, the lion coming in from the thickets, coming in from the dark, coming in from the wild, coming in from the forest, coming in from the thickets, okay? The lion represents a physical threat, right? That's obvious. You put a lion in this room, we're all going to freak out because it's a physical threat. All right? That's obvious. But this lion represents a threat on two levels. Follow me now. Represents a threat on two levels. Number one, physical. And number two, it represents a threat on a spiritual level. Now, there's this TV show that I love. and it's called Modern Family. I like it. I don't care what y'all think. I like it. Okay? And on that TV series is this woman, Sophia, and she's very exuberant, and she's very outspoken, but she's from Colombia. And she's standing in the foyer with her husband, Jay, and a little mouse ran across the front of her feet. And she jumps back, and she goes, "It's Diablo, the devil. This whole house is cursed." And it was just a little mouse that ran in front of her feet. And her husband's like, "It's not Diablo, it's a mouse." And she's like, "It's Diablo, the devil. This whole place is cursed now." That little mouse represented a physical threat, but there was this spiritual tension to the mouse, right? That's the same thing here with this lion. This lion coming in from the thickets, coming in from the wild into their inhabitation, has this spiritual tension to it. And follow me, if you will. In the Levitical law, there is this registry of blessings and curses. Okay? And what God says is this: if you observe the law and follow my ways, there are certain blessings that are naturally going to be assigned. However, if you fail to observe the law, there are curses that are assigned. There's ramifications to your decision making. Choose this day who you will serve. Now, I want you to read with me for a second the blessing, okay? Leviticus 26, verse 22 reads this: "I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid." Now listen to this: "I will remove the wild beast from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country." That's the blessing side of it. So if you observe the law, God's saying, "I will remove the wild beast." But listen to what happens if you fail to observe the law. Verse 21: "If you remain hostile towards me and refuse to listen to me, I will multiply your afflictions seven times over as your sins deserve." Now listen to this part: "I will send wild animals against you, and they will rob you of your children, destroy your cattle, and make you so few in number that your roads will be deserted." Listen, the fact that this lion had come in from the thickets did not just represent a physical threat, but this has like a spiritual implications to it. This has like spiritual tension to it, because the word of God says that if they obeyed the law, he would remove the wild beast. So on a random day, on a snowy day, on an unexpected day, out of the dark and out of the wild came a lion, and that lion threatened them physically and spiritually. It found itself in their water system, which was their source of life. And this lion was seen as a curse. It was seen as a curse. Amen? So, these are our concrete truths. Now, let's use some deductive reasoning. Follow me if you will. Why did Benaiah go down into a pit to kill the lion? Why did he go down to the cistern, the water source, to kill the lion? I mean, if you said, "Harris, there's a lion down in this pit, and you need to kill the lion." I mean, I'm standing up here, right? I'm throwing rocks at the lion. I'm talking smack to the lion. I'm flipping the lion the bird. I'm doing all this stuff. Why? Because I'm up here, and that lion's down there, right? You know what I'm saying? Why do you go down into the pit? Why did they not just shoot the lion with an arrow? Why did they not just chuck it with a spear? Now, let me ask you this question. Benaiah, and let me introduce you to Benaiah for a second, okay? Benaiah was a son of a priest. His father was actually very instrumental, because he rallied 3,700 people to get David into the kingship of Israel. Benaiah's father was instrumental in David securing the kingship of Israel. Okay? So from a very beginning, his household, his father was devoted and had covenant with the house of David. Now, what else do we know about Benaiah? He's a valiant champion warrior. What is his weapon of choice? A club. It's a club. He went up against the Egyptian with what? A club. Okay? If you are going to fight a giant, you are going to use the weapon you are most comfortable with. Correct? All right. So he's a champion warrior with the club. He's also David's bodyguard. Now, you have to understand, this is the most intimate of all military positions. Because if you make it past the front walls, if you make it past everyone else, the last stand is the bodyguard. Right? And you want your bodyguards to be strong enough, to be loyal enough to take on the opposing forces. Right? Right? Now, listen to this. He was also the leader of David's non-Jewish mercenaries. Now, I have to assume that you're a bad man if you're in charge of the mercenaries. Right? Like, they don't put, like, me in charge of the mercenaries. Those guys would destroy me. Like, they'd find me, like, duct taped to a chair, and the mercenaries would be, like, running amok, right? No! You gotta have someone who can handle the mercenaries. You have to be the valiant of most valiant warriors to deal with the mercenaries. He was the most valiant, the most champion-like, and he was the most loyal. So my question is this. Why do you give up your position, your vantage point, to go down into a pit? And why, if you are in charge of mercenaries, like, there's got to be some perks and benefits, right? And one of those is, if I have to kill a lion and I'm in charge of the mercenaries, I'm like, hey, Marshall, I got a job for you to do. Bet you $20 you can't kill that lion. Right? You send Marshall down there. This guy's a leader. You don't need to be killing lions. Okay? So why did he elect to go down into the pit, into the water source? This is what I believe. According to Jewish law, Levitical law, they could not afford for the animal to bleed out. This lion had to be removed, and it had to be killed, but they couldn't shoot it with an arrow because the blood coming in contact with the water would make it unclean. Okay? Now, this is my deductive reasoning. Okay? I believe he knew, as a son of a priest, the physical threat and the spiritual threat, and he knew he had to remove it, and I believe this lion had to be clubbed. I believe Benaiah knew that he had to club this animal to remove it in a specific way so it would not make their water source unclean. Now, let's talk about the Word of God for a second. Why do you go down into a pit on a snowy day? Benaiah, why? Because you know that you are the only one that's called for such a time as this. Out of the thickets and out of the dark and out of the wild came a curse. And that curse came into their system, their water source, which represented life, which represented resources. It threatened the people. It threatened family. And this curse had to be removed. And Benaiah, you are the one that is called to remove the curse. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that there is a day for each and every single one of us where we will be called upon to remove a curse. Some of you are facing something right now that is so unexpected. It is so rare, it's so unexpected, and out of the dark and out of the wild has come this threat against you, against your resources, against your life, against your family. And God is calling you to go down into a pit and remove the curse. This isn't about chasing a lion for sport. This is about the fact that he knew that only he could do this. And he was called for such a time as this. This account speaks to his honor, to his courage, and to his bravery. It speaks to his passion. Why do you go down? Because he had to. No one else can do this. This is so clear and it's so direct that this is going to take a champion warrior with a club to remove this curse. And I don't know who you are today. I don't know what you're facing. But out of the wild and out of the dark, something has come into your life. And God is calling for you to remove it, to kill it. Because it threatens life, it threatens resource, and it threatens your family. There are three standout principles to Benaiah that capture my attention that I want to talk about. Three standout principles. Are you with me this morning? Number one, Benaiah was a man of oath. He was a man of covenant. He was a man of pledge. Listen, we live in a day and age where people are not bound together in covenant anymore. We live in a day and age where everyone is unto themselves. A covenant means that two people come together and make a covenant and they bind themselves as one. What is theirs is mine and what is mine is theirs. I fight for them, they fight for me. We are as one. Amen? And we live in a day and age where people are without oath, that we are with, live in a day and age they're without covenant, they're without pledge. They're only unto themselves. And the problem with that is that they miss the clear, the obvious, the right, the moral thing. The clear thing is a total miss. The right choice is a total miss. You know why? Because they're only unto themselves. Jesus dealt with this. There was an account where Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they were trying to test and trick Jesus. And Jesus says, this wicked and adulterous generation, they seek a sign, but none will be given except for the sign of Jonah. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, this wicked and adulterous generation, you are only unto yourselves. You are not connected or bound together. You're not pledged together in anything except for yourselves. And the problem is that the Messiah was standing right before them and they couldn't see it. Because they were a people without covenant. He called them adulterous. Benaiah had a covenant with the house of David. His father was loyal to the house of David. He was loyal to the house of David. And that loyalty traveled from one generation to another. It was that loyalty, that passion, that devotion, that love that he had that compelled him to leave his rank and his advantage point to go down into the pit and remove that which only he could do. My question to you today is, how strong are the covenants in your life? We are bound together in love. We just took communion. Christ has knitted us together as one. How strong are the covenants in your life? How strong is the oath in your life? How strong are your pledges? Amen? Benaiah was a man of covenants, and he was a man of pledges. Number two, we have to have a serious and sober conversation about the threat of a curse. Ladies and gentlemen, I know there's certain words that you say in church, and they have like this taboo sensational nature to it. You say the word curse and people are like Sophia on Modern Family. Do Diablo. It's Diablo. Ladies and gentlemen, in every natural crisis that we have, behind it, there tends to be spiritual implications. These natural things that we wrestle against, behind it, it tends to have this spiritual tension. There's spiritual implications to it. Listen to what the Word of God says. It says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world and the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms." Listen, we have to have an honest conversation about the threat, the curse that comes in from the dark and the wild, out of the thickets, into the inhabitants of our lives. Even though it has a natural side to it, and that threat is physically obvious, the lion was obvious, there is a spiritual reality behind that natural threat. Listen, we need to have a conversation for a second about generational curses. Sin travels. It can travel from one generation to another generation. It's not taboo, it's not Diablo, it's reality. There are tendencies, there are predispositions, there are, sometimes you're prone to the failures and the temptations and the sin of previous generations. And like Benaniah, you are called for such a time as this to stand and to go down and kill the generational curse that has taken out many of your members of your family and past bloodline. God is calling you for such a time as this to go into a pit and remove the curse that threatens life, that threatens your resources and your family, your children and your children's children. Why does he go down to a pit? Because he knew that only he could do it. And ladies and gentlemen, God is calling many of you, just like Benaiah, to go down and stand because of the pledge that you have, because of the covenants that you have, because of the passion that you have, to go down and kill a generational curse. Listen, I am killing generational curses. I know that there are things that have taken out past generations in my bloodline. And because I do devotions with my kids, because I pray with my kids, because I lead my family spiritually, I know by the power of his word, I am defeating the generational curses that have plagued so many in my family. I am resetting the sowing and reaping process for my children and my children's children. Not by my strength and not by my power, but by the word of God. Men, you are called to be the priest of your household. You are called, like Benaniah, to destroy generational curses. You are called for such a time as this. You are called to lead your family spiritually in the word of God. You are called to go down into a pit. Why? Because only you can do it. I don't care if your dad wasn't a dad for you, you have to be a dad. I don't care if the oath should have been fulfilled to you and it wasn't, you have to fulfill the oath. He was a man of principle. He was a man of covenant. He was a man of pledge. He was a man devoted to the house of David. He was a protector of David's people. And he knew that he had to go down into that pit. Amen? The final thing that I want to talk about is this, is that you have to have a willingness to engage the lion. Listen, there is an ugly side of this that you have to embrace. Okay? Benaiah left his position of rank. He left his advantage point. He left the fact that he was a leader of the mercenaries. He left all of that the moment he went down into a pit. That lion doesn't care who he's the rank of. That lion didn't care how much money he has or doesn't have. That lion is there to destroy. And it threatened their life. And he left it all, his rank and his position. Listen, if you are going down into a pit with a lion, you are getting on the level of where the curse lies. And you have to get over the embarrassment and the awkwardness and the fact that you, everything that you represent and everything you stand for and all that you think speaks to your stature and character is gone in that moment. It is you and the lion. And you have to be willing to deal with some of the embarrassment and the ugliness of it. If you try to be cute, if you try to save face while fighting a curse, you will lose. You will lose. Listen to me. One of the things that we have to work on as a community is this. And this is, it's very, I'm venting for a moment, but it actually is a curse that we have to break. The 42431 is so condensed relationally that we know everything about everyone. And we even have Facebook to help us out. If someone gets a new car, we all know. We're all like, ooh, we got the leather. You know, like we all know exactly what's going on. Okay? But the problem with that for me is this, is that I find that so many people tend to cannibalize one another when they are trying to fight a curse. There's too much ooh-la-la. There's too much gossip. There's too much gloating. When someone is dealing with a curse, when someone is in the fight of their life, it doesn't seem like there's this great community of faith that supports one another, that embraces one another. They cannibalize one another. Ooh, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't understand how Madisonville can have so many churches. We have so many churches. And you would think with so many churches that the gospel and the presence of Christ and his amazing love would just ooze out of the 42431. But I don't necessarily see that. I see a group of people that tend to cannibalize each other when they are in a fight. And we need to break that curse upon this area. We need to support one another. Yes, give God a hand clap of praise. We need to support one another. Listen, especially for all of us who are trying to raise kids, I'm going to tell you something that you need to know. Good kids make bad decisions. Okay? Good kids make bad decisions. Mom and dad, it might not be your kid right now, but good kids make bad decisions. My kids are going to make bad decisions. Okay? And instead of cannibalizing, instead of ooh-la-la-ing and gossiping against the parent, why don't we come together as the body, as the covenant, as one, and support? How many curses can be defeated if we support one another? One of the challenges is that I feel like so many parents micromanage their kids because they want them to be perfect. They want them to be perfect. They don't really care if they're perfect to them. They're more worried about being perfect to everyone else. And this is the type of pressure that we do not need to put on our kids. They're already under enough pressure. What we need to do is give them some space to learn and to grow. We need to let them make decisions. And guess what? We need to let them learn the consequences of bad decision making. But when you are in a fight, and you know that there is a lion in your water system, there is a curse in your life system, you can't worry about saving face. You have to fight this with everything that you've got. Amen? Benaiah, he went down into the pit because he knew he had to. This speaks to his character and his bravery and his honor. It speaks to his makeup. It's not sport, it's duty, it's passion. And I want to leave you with some questions today. What owns your heart in such a way that you're willing to go down into the pit? What is so much of your makeup in the essence of who you are? I love talking with people who are in the military, because once you're in the military, you're always in the military, right? It's an oath and a pledge. Once you're Marines, always Marines. Once you're Army, always Army. What covenants do you have in your life that are essentially so much a part of you that you are willing to risk it all? What are you willing to fight for? How is your covenant with your spouse? How is your pledge as being a parent? Are you being the priest of your household? How is your pledge to one another? We also have to take a look and have honest conversations about the physical threats and the spiritual threats that are in our lives. And ladies and gentlemen, listen to me, okay? There are certain things in our lives, and every single one of us has this, that has to be removed. There is something in our lives, every single one of us has this, that has to be removed. Amen? And number three, there has to be a willingness to engage in the fight. As ugly and as embarrassing it is, you cannot run from it. You cannot contain this lion. You cannot trap this lion. You have to kill it and remove it. And there has to be a willingness. Amen? Now, some of you might say, hey, you didn't really tell us how to kill a lion. Okay, but that conversation comes up next. So you could tell me all day long, hey, Harris, when you go down into the pit, you just grab hold of the lion and you hit, it doesn't matter. We still haven't discussed me going down into the pit yet. Once I make up my mind to go to the pit, then you talk about how to destroy the lion. But that motivation comes from the heart. And I ask you to ponder your heart this week about the matter that we talked about. Amen. I want to do something different. Elders, if you'll come forward. Elders, prayer warriors, just come forward and just space out. I want to give you an opportunity. I feel like there's certain people in here that are facing curses. I feel like there's certain people in here that is facing a lion. It's random, it's unexpected, it might be embarrassing, it might be something that's so taboo, but out of the dark and out of the wild, something has come in and it threatens your life, it threatens your resources, and you just need someone to partner with and pray. If that is you this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to pray with an elder. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a second. Father, we thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the house of God. Lord, I pray. I know there's so many people that are dealing with so many different things, random things, things that are unexpected. And I just pray that you'll give them the strength and the grace, give them the stamina, give them the faith to conquer such things. If you're in the house of God today and you want prayer, I give you this invitation just to come forward. We're not going to do anything embarrassing, but we do want to give you the opportunity to pray with someone. The Word of God says when two or more are gathered, we ask these things in His name. Is there anyone in the house of God that needs prayer?
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.